Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And it's Monday morning. It's a beautiful Monday here in Johannesburg. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm your host, Nicholas Ingle, and this is an important show. We're talking about salt, and I'm going to warn you in advance about my very bad pun I'm going to be making about salt. But such an important show, we've got two doctors that we'll be chatting to. And docs, I do apologize for my pronunciation if I butcher the pronunciation of any of your names.
No,
so first, we have Dr. Avron Urison and Chief Medical Officer for One Life Insurance, and Dr. Nasiba Kathrada, GP and weight loss expert. We're going to be touching on salt, the good, the bad, the ugly. Have you been assaulted by junk food? Sorry.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name's Nicholas Ingle, your bad pun expert, but I'm chatting to two experts on salt. Firstly, we've got Dr. Avron Urison, the Chief Medical Officer for One Life Insurance, and Dr. Nasiba Kathrada, GP and weight loss expert. Doc, Avron, to start with you, having spent 15 years in insurance, I don't think really that there's anyone more skilled or better equipped and more knowledgeable than a CMO of an insurance company to understand real health risks, because it matters so much for what you give to the underwriters and in terms of how they develop the products for keeping things cost-effective for all of the clients. So firstly, docs, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about salt, doc.
So, yeah, if I can kick off, just to say that, and thanks for having me on my show, Nicholas, and great to always have the opportunity to educate South Africans, because I think salt is probably one of the most underplayed ingredients in all our food. And it's serious. It's not just because it's a small dietary issue, right? It's a population-wide risk. You know, the recommended limit is less than 5 grams of salt per day, yet many South Africans are sitting well above that, and hopefully we can talk a bit about that. And the concern, obviously, from a medical perspective and from an insurance company perspective, you know, from what we see at One Life as well, is that excess salt raises blood pressure. And blood pressure is one of the major drivers of heart disease, stroke, kidney disease, premature death. You know, we call it the silent killer because people don't know that that's having an effect in their bodies. And what makes it even more dangerous is that people don't feel unwell while this is all happening. So from a public health perspective, salt reduction is one of the simplest, cheapest, and most important levers that one can change to reduce long-term disease burden. And it's great you're having a show on this.
Absolutely. And I think the real thing is we're all cognitive of salt as we are of sugar. The majority of us know we don't go crazy with the salt. We don't go crazy with the sugar. But our modern diet is where we get betrayed. Refined foods, fast foods, processed foods, cold meats. There's so much salt already in the, if we could say, our food chain, that anything extra that we put on at home is where the problem lies. Where are you seeing the real problem, the real attack on us by salt, if I could put it that way?
So you did. It's our eating habits, right? It's the westernized diet, the Western diet, so as we call it. And it's really, it's all those unhealthy foods, everything you mentioned, Nicholas, you know, your processed meats, your frequent takeaways, those salty snacks, packet soups, stock cubes, sauces, fast food. I mean, the list is endless, right? Bread is also important because, you know, each slice, even if it doesn't seem to be salty, There's a lot of salt in it, and it all adds up. And that's really one point I want to emphasize. People like think about salt. Oh, okay, I don't add it onto my food, so I'm fine. But it's not. Salt is actually prevalent in most of our foodstuffs, and we should be targeting less than 5 grams of salt per day, according to the World Health Organization's guidelines. So let me just put that into perspective. That's about 1 teaspoon of salt per day, about 2,000 milligrams of sodium a day, and it's in many of our foods, so it's really got nothing to do whether you take that big salt pitcher and like spray it and sprinkle on your food. All the foods that we are taking actually have salt into it. So that all builds up on a daily basis, and that actually significantly has a risk. And the risk is obviously, as I said, it builds up your blood pressure. It causes fluid to, on a very simple basis, it actually just causes fluid to build up in your body and raises your blood pressure. And that starts affecting all the organs and cardiovascular organs in your body.
I think that was my next question, the effect on the body. And with that excess fluid retention, it's basically if you put a garden hose into a hot water bottle and pump it full of water and the water can't escape, there's a lot of pressure. You could literally stand on it like a rock. Is that sort of what's happening in the body? This excess fluid is putting pressure on everything.
Exactly. So that excess fluid, starts pushing up your blood pressure, and that uncontrolled high blood pressure damages the blood vessels in the body. So in the heart, it forces the heart to pump against a higher pressure, which leads to a thickening of the heart muscle, and then that starts leading to heart failure, heart attacks, rhythm problems. In the kidneys, it starts to damage the tiny vessels that filter all the waste, so which can lead to chronic kidney disease, and renal disease. In the brain, it increases your risk of stroke and small vessel disease, and cognitive decline. And then you've got your long-term aging diseases, issues like vascular dementia. So the important point for our listeners is that high blood pressure or hypertension is not just a number on a machine. You see, okay, well, you're targeting to get be below 130 over 90, and that's fine. It's actually causing a long-term threat to multiple organs, and it's something that we're passionate about all life at One Life. We focus on longevity, health span, keeping people healthy. And over a period of time, if people don't watch their blood pressure, you start get this, the buildup of the high blood pressure and damage to all the organs. And we actually see that at One Life, and obviously people getting unhealthier. And obviously that creates more risk,
Sure.
in terms of the longevity and the morbidity and mortality.
So, Doc, I want to go on to talking about hypertension, but just before we do, I want to pop over to Dr. Kat, Dr. Kathrada,
Yes.
and just touch on weight loss and salt. Doc, thank you for joining us. How big a role does salt play in weight loss? With regards to hypertension, the silent killer. And I think it's
Yes.
so important because hypertension, high blood pressure, these are things that can also start
I
to.
sorry,
Oh,
sorry, Nicholas.
okay.
Sorry, Nicholas.
No problem. I just thought I wanted to bring you in there because it's such an important question. With regards to salt and weight loss, what role does it play?
No, I've been hearing everything that you
Okay,
guys are
fab.
discussing, and 100% about weight loss and salt. It's so important because everybody is we are taught that sugar is the villain. But especially people like Professor said, salt is hidden in many things. And with me specifically, I do a body type analysis for my patient, and there's a large group of patients. Salt affects them way more than sugar. Those people who are prone to it, so it's called an A type body type, where their adrenal glands are their dominant glands. And you'll find that these people also have an affinity to have things like red meat, alcohol, cream and butter. So those are the things, and they'll always prefer savory foods to sweet things. And when you tell a person, why do you think you gained weight? And they'll go, well, I don't eat cakes and biscuits, and I don't eat anything sweet. And people assume that sugar will give you weight gain, sorry. But it's actually salt in junk food, in fast foods, in the hidden salt, in sauces, soups, anything that's processed meat has very high salt, and 100% leads to water retention, and then affects all the things like Professor said. So it's a very big role in weight loss.
And I'd like to throw out the next question to both of you. is in terms of salt and weight gain. So we're looking from a point, Dr. Aaron, from hypertension, and then for Dr. Kat, from being heavy and overweight. How does excess salt in our diet start to affect our ability to move and to exercise as we get heavier, as we develop hypertension? I've had clients at the gym say, no, I've got high blood pressure, I can't do weights, or I can't do this, I can't do that. If we are carrying excess fluid, there's pain on the joints. Are we seeing this also limit people's mobility? Dr. Kat, let me start with you on this first, and then we'll go to Doc Avron.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So the thing is, when it comes to weight loss and high blood pressure, the patients firstly don't take the medication regularly. That's the thing that we find very often. And then because it's a silent killer, unlike people who have diabetes who check their sugar regularly, people who have high blood pressure don't check their sugar, mm-hmm. and don't check their blood pressure. And then also I find that patients are not necessarily put on the correct antihypertensive. So you get two different types. One is a vasodilator and one is a diuretic. And a patient who's on the correct blood pressure medication will get the diuretic effect and get the weight loss, and then because that's what it is. I mean, sometimes I'll do an analysis for the patient and they'll be retaining about 7 to 10 kilos of extra water because they've been eating incorrectly, and then the salt causes that water retention. And then, like you said, they get puffy and then they don't understand why, then they don't go to gym, and then their clothes don't fit them, and then they just say, oh, I'm just supposed to be fat. That, so I get that often. They'll go like, I don't know, I'm doing everything and I'm not losing weight. Yeah, because you're cutting out your sugar. You're not cutting out your salt.
The
salt. Then the people just carry on being, you know, I'll just be a fat person. And it's not like that. It's small little changes. You know, there's something called low sodium salt, which is potassium salt.
Okay. So, Doc, sorry to jump in. We've got to pay the rent.
Yes.
And as soon as we pay the rent, we'll come back and carry on. The vitally, vitally important question. Let us have your questions for our guests on the studio WhatsApp number 0618951019. You're listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dischem. Better health starts here.
It's the Dischem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chatting with two doctors, Dr. Doc, have I been getting this right, by the way? Avron Yurison.
Yeah, Avron Yurison, that's fine. I think I heard the Dr. Kat saying the professor, just as I'm not a professor. I'm a regular doctor, chief medical officer at One Life Insurance.
Okay, well, Doc, you look like a professor. So there we go.
Thank you.
Naziba Kathrada, Dr. Kat. So we're chatting about salt. Let us have your questions for our guest on 061-895-1019. We were talking about hypertension just before we went to ad break. So, Avron, can you give us sort of your understanding of the effect of hypertension, excess salt, on people's ability and willingness to get out and exercise and move?
So, exactly. So there are three big pillars, hey, in terms of preventive health and longevity. It's diet, which we're talking about, what you're putting in your food, exercise, and sleep.
Mm.
And exactly right. And I think Dr. Kat put it really well. But with the excess buildup of fluid over the years, it is going to affect your ability. You know, if you feel uncomfortable, maybe you feel you're retaining fluid, etc., your weight's going up, you feel uncomfortable to exercise and might find it difficult. Whilst you don't have direct indicators of damage happening, and that's why we call it the silent killer,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're developing these risks, it's going to start affecting your lifestyle factors. So exercise is for sure, the ability to walk, you know, you're feeling weak, you don't want to get out of bed, etc. You know, those types of feelings definitely indicate to get your blood pressure checked. But also sleep is something that we've neglected for many years, and I'm passionate about it. And people who start struggling to sleep, you know, you see changes, like you've been a great sleeper, and then you're finding it difficult going to sleep or waking up in the night. They may be early indicators that you've got issues with your blood pressure as well, or your higher salt intake. So you need to look at your lifestyle factors in an entirety, you know, your diet, your sleep, and your exercise. And they may be very early indicators that your salt is too high and that you're starting to develop these complications.
Sort of the challenges. One thing I just wanted to touch on, and I'm going to break the question down into two parts for both of you. First, with you, Doc. I've got to be careful when I say that. So it's two docs. Avril, with regards to the salt and the damage done to the body. If we're starting to see maybe in our late 30s, early 40s, 50s, hang on, I'm not sleeping well because, yep, I'm a huge, huge fan and advocate of sleep. It's the single greatest thing that we can do to retain cognitive function, longevity, yes, lose weight. You've got to sleep to lose weight as well, you know, which
exactly,
I love.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean sleeping instead of going to the gym, by the way. I just want to put that out there. But in terms of the damage that's done, if we're seeing small vessels being damaged in the kidneys throughout the body, can that be reversed with healthy diet and healthy lifestyle? Is it almost a death sentence, or is there a point, unfortunately, that we reach of no return?
Look, vessel damage. Look, it's vessel damage over a period of number of years is very difficult to reverse because it actually damages the vessels. But having said that, it's never too late to actually reverse those lifestyle factors and actually start implementing healthy routines, which obviously will assist in terms of a regeneration of blood vessels and starting to get the endothelial lining correct. So damage will have happened over the years, but it's never too late to change and start putting those factors into place. And we see it obviously at One Life as well, that every, say, year you take to manage your blood pressure and your salt intake and fluid will actually impact your risk. And that's why the insurance companies and healthcare companies actually reward and incentivize, you know, managing your blood pressure on an annual basis. It's not just a nice to have in a tick box because they want to give out rewards. It actually has a significant impact. So yes, you can actually, to a certain extent, reverse that damage in terms of longevity, and you should be doing that. You should be taking that into cognizance and doing that. Now, it's very difficult to do because, as I said, it's a silent issue, high blood pressure, you know, and something that you don't see sort of, it's not something you're going to change your blood pressure and tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and feel 100% better. This is change that happens over weeks, months, and years. You know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And I'm sure Dr. Kat will agree with me from her GP practice as well, is that patients want, and certainly in today's time, and we know with our phones and instant gratification, and that doesn't happen, right? It's a long-term process to reverse the damage, to bring your blood pressure under control. Look, we do corporate wellness programs as well through companies, and almost one in three adults walking around out there have uncontrolled hypertension that they don't know about. Mm-hmm. That is how prevalent that is in the South African population.
Sure. Absolutely, absolutely scary. Want to go now to Dr. Kat. Let's chat about with salt. What Dr. Avron mentioned is, you know, people are looking for immediate gain immediate results. I always love it when people come in, you know, I have clients that are carrying perhaps a little bit too much weight, or they're wanting to get to a specific goal and they want it in 2 weeks. And the question always is, well, it took you a lifetime to get here and you want to reverse it in 2 weeks to a month. When clients start reducing salt, what are the changes that you see in their bodies, their body shape and their ability to move and how they feel about themselves?
I'm going to answer that, but I first want to comment on the sleep.
You know,
the sleep and weight.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to, like when I do an analysis of my patient, I divide them into four different body parts. So adrenal, thyroid, pituitary, and ovary. And we know that there are no ovary type men, but you get all the other three types. And generally, a thyroid type person is the one who has a lot of sugar, is the one who's prone to have anxiety and depression, but they have a lot of caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when a person has a lot of caffeine? It blocks the T4 to convert to T3, which is what your body needs for a lot of functions in your body. But now, caffeine also increases your blood pressure. And that's the thing that people don't believe. And if you're having too much of caffeine, you're not sleeping properly. And if you're not sleeping properly, as Dr. Avron said, you are going to, obviously that's not going to help you with health and of course your blood pressure. So I wanted to just, you know, reiterate that I've got a lot of patients who a GP will put them on a thyroid medication, but don't advise them not to have caffeine. Also, people who have high blood pressure, not sleeping properly, and they find that even with medication, the blood pressures are not regulated. it's not very common for an adrenal type person to like coffee, but if they found that they enjoy the taste because of a full cream milk, because they're very prone to having fatty things, so then full cream milk, if that's their, they like milk, they end up having a lot of coffee or tea, and tea has about 5-6 the caffeine that coffee has. So if we don't stop the caffeine, you're not going to get good sleep, your pressure is not going to be regulated. So that's really, really important when it comes to blood pressure control as well, not just salt. So caffeine also plays a big role, and any other stimulants. So Coke Light, Pepsi, Pepsi Light, green tea, coffee and tea. Green tea has more caffeine than coffee has. And people say, oh, I'm having green tea because it's good for my health. Yeah, but have you checked your blood pressure after? Is it affecting your blood pressure? You also need to check that. And then the other question you asked me, yes, 100%. Everybody wants a quick fix. So, you know, and also now with all the GLP-1s floating around, the black market stock and everything, people just think that they just can take an injection and appetite suppressant, and then they're going to end up losing weight. And then, I mean, 60% of them stop, will end up gaining weight again. But the side effects are so, so high for those things. So, yes, everybody does want a quick fix. And, you know, it's just, I wish that people would take the time to go into research a little bit. If that's what your problem is, blood pressure, research it. And simple, simple things like dietary changes. Mm-hmm. You know, at medical school, we get taught high blood pressure, diabetes, it's three things. Number one, diet. Number two, exercise. And then there's a whole list of medication. Why don't they give us lectures on diet? If you just change the diet and the specific things and change in diet, makes a huge, huge, huge difference. So it's not a four-letter word. It is actually a lifetime of research for your body that will change your weight, your health, and your wellness.
Absolutely love that, Doc. Thank you.
Nicholas.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to just go back on that and just say, you know, just because we are talking about salt around here, is that you know, people must be, and I agree with Dr. Kat, but people must be mindful of what they're doing. And I suppose that's what your show is about, in educating people and really going to the basics. So instead of putting salt in their food, there are other alternatives that the World Health Organization recommends. When I was doing my research on this, things like herbs, spices, garlic, onion, lemon, vinegar, chili, paprika, coriander, you know, all these, rosemary, thyme, all these healthy herbs are alternatives that can add flavor. You know, there are a lot of salt substitutes that people can use. So, you know, if you have issues, or even if you don't have issues, you don't have to go through that salt that you used to. You know, there are other alternatives. Be mindful of what you're putting into your food, and at least in the salt that you can control, just limit it, you know, and because that will have an impact in terms of your high blood pressure.
I think that's such great advice, and then from both of you, and that actually brings me to the point that I want to touch on. How much salt should we be having? Are we getting enough salt in our diets? And I think, do we almost build up, so a three-point question for each of you, are we building up a tolerance for salt where we need more and more and more salt? Something just to share, I mean, I've been sober for 19 years, and at one stage I was having 6 heap teaspoons of sugar in my coffee and probably 8 cups of coffee a day, because there's a huge correlation between the sugar addiction and the alcoholism, because I was a beer drinker. And cutting that out, I can't tolerate sugar in coffee today if I have an espresso. So are we getting too used to our salt because of everything that's going on? And how much salt should we really be having? Dr. Avron, let me start with you, and then Dr. Kat will go to you.
Right. So when I started the show, as I said, so we should probably be looking at less than 5 grams of salt per day. Just to put it into perspective, that's 1 teaspoon of added salt. But then you have all the salt in all the different foods. Now, just to say that there was a Witt and Harvard study published in 2025 that found that South Africa's sodium legislation, because there have been some legislative changes, has been significant and resulted in the reduction in sodium intake and blood pressure, which is very insightful. The VIT summary actually says that participants reduced their sodium intake by about 10% over 7 years. So it means their consumption reduced from 17% to 7%, which is very significant. So government and regulatory bodies do have a role to play, and they need to reduce the amount of salt in our food. But that doesn't absolve the responsibility of individuals. Then individuals also need to take that responsibility and start making the choices for themselves and their families. and making sure that you just don't need to buy that salt, right? Get, as I said, you there are all other different alternatives you need to be looking at. And I think then as a partnership between obviously government regulation and consumer education, we can get individuals to make these simple choices. And as you said, Nicholas, it's really a simple choice. You know, it's about, do I need all those spoons of sugar in my coffee or tea? And B, do I need all this extra salt? Which takes me to my last point, is that people need to read food labels. And I find this a big problem amongst consumers. They don't read labels. So in all the foods you buy, you need to go and you need to actually look at those labels. And it's obviously, it is a regulatory that all products need to have these labels and specify how much salt in that product. And you need to start being, as an active, educated consumer, choosing those products that actually have less salt.
Less salt. I love that. Thank you.
100%. I was actually going to touch on that. In fact, there's a rule of thumb. If you look at an ingredient list, the ingredients in any product in South Africa by law have to be listed by the one
In
that's most
order.
to the one that's least in order. So if salt is in the top three, you shouldn't have it if you've got high blood pressure. That's my rule of thumb for my patients who've got high blood pressure. However, you need to know what the words for salt is. They don't just write salt. So salt,
Exactly.
monosodium glutamate, sodium cyclamate, MSG is a big one. You know, you need to look for the words that could mean salt. And if it's in the top three, don't have it. The other thing is, a lot of people now are into on this organic bandwagon. Oh, I have organic salt. I have Himalaya salt. Himalaya salt, king
Yes.
salt is sodium salt. Sodium salt is the same thing. If you want a salt substitute, if you've got high blood pressure, it's something called low salt, which is potassium salt, which takes out the water from your body and not brings in water. And also, you need to look for hidden salt, like Dr. Evan said in the beginning. It's not about just using the salt shaker and counting that salt. Everything already has salt. In fact, you know, in cereal, salt is there. Like, yeah, I'm having all bran flakes in the morning. I don't have anything saving. Salt is there. Salt is in everything.
In
Like most foods, you
chocolate.
Yeah.
have it in salt. Yes, in chocolate.
Yes, you
And
definitely
also,
can get it in. You definitely, and I'm glad that Dr. Kat said that about Himalayan salt, because I think it's, and I did a lot of research around this, and I think it's largely a myth, right? Sea salt or
Yes.
Himalayan salt and table salt, they may differ in texture, color, and trace minerals, but they all contain sodium,
Sodium,
right, Dr. Kat?
100%, 100%.
So from a blood pressure perspective, your body responds to this in it in the same way, and it's going to retain the fluid. So the key
Yeah.
issue is the total sodium intake, not whether whatever color it is in. Is it
And how
natural, not
expensive,
natural,
yeah. and how
organic? However it
expensive
is,
is
it's salt.
it? Yeah, how
Salt,
expensive,
it's
yeah.
sodium.
And
Yes.
just something perhaps to add as well, with the Himalayan salt, a lot of it's coming out of China, and there's a lot of heavy metal in the salt because of the processing and how it's being mined. So it may actually not be really good for you at the end of the day. I think, do we really need to be adding salt to our food? I think that's the next question. But I wanted to ask Dr. Kat, when clients start reducing salt, if you look at sort of the clients you've been working with maybe for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, are they comfortable to start reducing that salt intake?
I see it in a week.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
need
There
to
you go.
see it in months. I see it in a week. And the thing is, especially like somebody, especially women who are going through menopause, men also menopause, you get like that round face, which is like that puffy face. And when I take my thyroid patients off caffeine, you see it instantly. And also with the A-type people who have the high blood pressure, I have to say that the personality of people who have high blood pressure is generally, they're generally patient people. But when they get angry, they get very angry. So they're very lackadaisical. They've got to like light a firecracker up their ass. And unless they have like a spouse that's like on them, they don't really bother because, and it is like everyone said, it is a silent killer. So you don't really see it. But when a woman comes to you for weight loss and you try to explain to her, it's not about about the sugar, it's about the steak you're eating, it's about the salt that you're adding, it's about all of that. And then she'll say to you, ah, oh, but you know, I stopped having bread. And I lost weight. And I go, yeah, it wasn't the bread. It was what you're eating in the
The
bread. So
bread.
salted butter in South Africa. So salted butter on both sides. Then you're putting like a cheese or like a steak sandwich. And then
Or
you're putting
peanut butter.
tomato sauce or mayonnaise. So all of those got salt in it. And then if you, and I tell them, it's not just the bread that you stop. I said, if you were having a cheese sandwich, do you go, okay, I'm not having the bread. I'm eating the butter and the cheese. No, you don't. You stop the entire thing. So that's what people need to be cognizant of. And simple thing to do is keep a food diary. And
That
when you
well,
keep a food diary, then you start looking at, let me just go back last week and all the things that I've eaten, let me just go and calculate how much salt was in each of those things.
Yes.
And the minute you change that and you give it a week, and eat clean. And then, you know, when your gut is happy, you just look happy. Your skin is happy. Your hair is happy. You're sleeping better. You're feeling better. And then you want to exercise. And then you break the bad cycle, but it has to go cold turkey.
I love it. Doc, we just got to jump into paying the rent. And when we come back, we'll continue on that. And then I've got a question for Dr. Avron. Is salt getting to the point where it's becoming such a problem? It's going to be a question on our life insurance applications. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Single, and we're chatting salt.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
An absolutely fantastic show so far today. Thank you to our wonderful guests for joining us, and to you, our listener, for joining us. We're chatting salt. So, Dr. Avron, before we continue, I want to know, are we going to be seeing salt as a question on life cover applications, disability applications, or should we?
Nicholas, that's a great question. But what we need to know, and obviously we've done a lot of research at One Life about this and insurance in terms of our risk stratification. So salt itself is not what we're going to ask directly. So we're never going to say, how much salt are you consuming a day? But obviously it's the impact of salt over time, right? So it's your high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, kidney problems. And those are all the issues that will influence your life insurance application, right, when you apply. So you have to be mindful about that. However, there is a positive side to this, Nicholas, in that hypertension, I mean, even high blood pressure, as we've said, it's one of those silent killers, and it develops over time and is going to influence your risk application. But if you detect it early enough and manage it well and start controlling it and treat it through lifestyle modification, as we've discussed, and maybe you would require medication, then you could get it early enough that there aren't those problems, those major complications like heart disease, kidney problems, you know, small vessel disease, stroke, etc. And then it's a very different application that you're putting into the life insurance company. So per se, no. You know, it's not one of those questions like smoking that we're going to ask, but we will see it over a period of time if it's actually if you have that high blood pressure developing, and we send you for a medical, and you know that we find that you have these complications. So, in terms of your own and our listeners' own health, and obviously for risk stratification for health and life insurance, it's saying that the individual needs to take cognizance of it and manage it correctly.
Sure. Fantastic. Thank you, Doc. A question that I wanted to open to both of you, and let's start with Dr. Kat. Should we be cutting out all salt that we add to our food and just relying on the salt that comes in our food? Some great advice that I got many years ago was, don't add salt to your food when you're cooking because it can break down. Rather, cook without salt and add it afterwards. So, you know, what advice would you have as we start to wrap up the show for our listeners with regards to, you know, how should they be managing their salt intake?
Yeah, 100%. The thing is, in each family, everybody's salt intake differs. So in a family where you're cooking one pot of food, and there's a mom or a dad who has high blood pressure, and then you've got young kids who are very active, obviously need their salt to be slightly different, it's better to cook without the salt, and then each person can add as much as they want. That way, you know how much you're having. The other thing is about adding salt. There's this thing where everybody assumes they get cramps and their salt is low. And, you know, it's things like magnesium, it's other trace elements and minerals that are lacking. And it doesn't mean that if you're cramping or getting cramps at night that you don't have enough salt, and then people start eating the salt and they think it's that. There are certain conditions, like my daughter's got congenital adrenal hyperplasia. She needs to have 1 gram of salt per day as an addition, and she craves salt. So that's completely different. So again, in an individual household, everybody's requirement is different. So yes, it would make sense to not salt the food, or to put like a minimal amount, and then people can just add on when they need. And those who have anything to do with high blood pressure should refrain from adding any salt.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Dr. Avron.
Yeah, Nicholas, I want to add on to just what Dr. Kat said. And Dr. Kat, you mentioned it. I think the education starts at home and in the household. And we started talking about children as Well, so I think it's part of education as a family. Children can develop high blood pressure as well, so we need to know this, and diet does matter. So children don't need the same amount of salt as adults, and the World Health Organization recommends adjusting children's sodium intake downwards, right? So I think we've got to start in the home, and when our kids are growing up as young children and teenagers, don't add that salt, these salty diets into our daily meals, right? Let them get used to having food without salt, without pouring the salt on, and that will one educate your family, but it will have a significant intake of Dr. Katz said, she's has experience with children and teenagers. Childhood obesity, inactivity, high blood pressure. We're seeing these diseases starting to go through the roof, and that's because we're not educating our kids. And it's really about practice, about putting into practice what we preach. So at those tables of our breakfast, lunches, and dinners, don't add the salt. Educate your kids. Don't have that. Just don't put salt on the table is probably the easiest way I can either, and the most simplest way to say it. Just like you shouldn't leave sugar off the table, leave salt off the table, and because otherwise we our kids and teenagers, we're also teaching them bad habits.
I think it's absolutely wonderful advice, and it's so, so simple. It's funny when you mentioned leaving sugar off the table, I thought back to growing up where we would put sugar and lemon juice on pawpaw, as a healthy dessert. The rules have definitely changed. On a lighter-hearted question, just before we go to pay the rent, should your salt intake be directly proportionate to your relationship with your in-laws? Does anyone want to get
Well,
that
let
question?
Dr. Kat answer that
Yeah.
if she wants to.
Listen, guys, I recently got married, so I'm going to keep quiet
Okay, fair enough. Oh, fantastic.
because
So we're just going to go now pay the rent. And when we're back, I'd just like to get one tip from each of you. I mean, Dr. Avron already mentioned leaving salt off the table, but just for our listeners, in terms of maybe understanding or managing their salt intake.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show on 101.9 High FM. I'm Nicholas Singel, and I've been chatting with Dr. Ivron Urizen. He is the Chief Medical Officer, for those in the industry, the CMO of One Life Insurance, and Dr. Nasiba Kathrada, Dr. Kat. Doctors, thank you so much for joining. Just as we wrap up, a very, very quick bit of advice or a comment from each of you. Dr. Avron, let's start with you, please.
Great, Nicholas, great show. And thank you for doing the show because it's something at One Life we're passionate about. And as CMO, we always try to encourage prevention and protecting your family is not only about the financial cover, it's about taking these small steps. So this is my most important message to the listeners, besides leaving salt off the table. Reducing salt is not just about removing your enjoyment from food, it's about protecting your long-term health, longevity and health span, which we are passionate about at One Life. Small daily changes made consistently can reduce blood pressure risk and will then prevent heart disease, stroke, and kidney disease. So this is what the World Health Organization identifies and says: food reformulation, front-of-pack labeling, healthier public food environments, and behavioral change, one small step at a time with yourself, your families, and your community are all key to reduce that, so are all key for sodium reduction interventions. And Mama, finishing off with that, this is something we need to be mindful about. It's not just about saying that's just going to happen. We need to be mindful about it and make the relevant changes.
Fantastic. Thank you, Doc. And the next Doc, Dr. Kat.
Well, I'm going to go a little bit more practical. So there's two things. The first thing is, as you know, if we have our phones anywhere near us and we have a conversation, it picks up on what we're talking about, and then you get all of these adverts popping up on your Facebook and on Instagram and your TikTok. I want to say to people out there who want to understand more about this, go and search it. Search food high in salt. The minute you start doing that on your search engine, it's going to come up on your TikTok, on Facebook, or whatever, and that's how you educate yourself. So in the middle of all the fun things that you're looking at, you will get this food popping up and educate yourself a little every day. And for those of you who are seriously wanting to know, am I prone to getting high blood pressure? Am I that body type, the one that I was talking about? Go to my website, www.drkatz.co.za. It is a free assessment. You just click on it, answer the questions. It will tell you whether you are prone to having high blood pressure, and then you can take control of your health and take control of your life. And then, you know, knowledge is power.
Perfect. Thank you so
Nicholas,
much.
Nicholas, one last point, which I'm sure Dr. Kettle will agree with. Go and screen for your blood pressure. Mm. If you haven't done it, you should be doing it at least once a year. And go visit your doctor, your pharmacy, or wherever you go, and go do that screening. It will change your life.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think also, as we get older, something I would add, find a medical professional that you can work with. Just as an elite athlete works with a team of coaches, find medical professionals that you can work with to manage your greatest gift and your greatest asset, your health. You know, Dion Friedland was mentioned here, competitive bodybuilder in his 80s. He looks 50 years old. He's in better shape than most 25-year-olds because he takes that seriously. Doctors, thank you again for joining us. To our wonderful listeners, thank you for joining us. You've been listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I will chat with you next week.